Put your hands together, give God some praise. Because we do serve a great God. He still speaks and is done. And he commands and it stands fast. Amen. And I'm just delighted to be here today to worship again in this holy spot and to see so many of you who push your way out to be a part of this worshiping experience. And I'm always overjoyed to be in the presence of Pastor C. Wright. Amen. Amen. Keith, I'm sorry about the beat down, and I promise. I promise. Next time I come, I'll be a little more generous. I'll try. God has blessed me. God has blessed me to live to be 80 years old. Three scores and 10, and by reasonable strength, four scores. I'm in the grace zone, and I'm glad about it. Amen. One reason I'm so elated over it is that no male in my family made 70. I'm the oldest living Hamer I know. Amen. 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 And I'm just so glad to be here, to be among some people who have been very instrumental in my spiritual growth, like your dad. Amen. Amen. And where is it? Is it my teacher? He spent so much time at the minister retreats and workshops, and every now and then I'll call him and he'll tell me something about expository sermons and and that type of stuff. And I'm trying to look, man, I'm trying to get out the way, not in the way. I want you to be strong and grow, and then I can pat you on the back and say, preach on, preach on, preach on. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm just so glad I was. Thank you for my love bone who travels with me, Marla, in her red hat. Put on your red dress, baby, because we going to the church today. Amen. Amen. When I talked to Pastor C. Wright, and he instructed me to bring a message when I came, and I said, Lord, what do you? What would you have me to preach? And I was looking at Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Then I stormed through the Bible some more, and I ran into Exodus, and it was saying, simple obedience. Obey the simple commandments that God gave us in Exodus. And Sister McGarraway, the message for the morning is coming from Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is that it? Amen. Amen. If you'd be so kind to stand with me, we'll read these few verses. Gospel according to Matthew from the NIV version says, You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And our theme, our subject is, let others see Christ in you. My mentor, Pastor C. Wright, always instructed me, when a pastor is humble enough to allow you to stand behind this holy spot, do all you can do to help the pastor. And so that's going to be my task today. I want to try to do all that I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit to give this evangelistic message in an effort to help my friend, Pastor C. Wright. Gracious Father, we're so grateful and thankful for the love you continue to show us day by day. Because, Lord, we sometimes take for granted that the sun is going to shine and the rain is going to fall, the crops are going to grow, and we'll have all the substance we need to sustain us while here on earth. But we pause now to give you glory and give you honor for the love you gave us through your darling son, Jesus, and this holy word that you left to be a light unto our pathway. We pray, Lord, as we do our best to deliver this word, we pray for the Holy Spirit to move me out of the way and deliver the word where you will get glory out of all that we do. When you bless us, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sits cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under bushes, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that men may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that others see Christ in you. According to John, the Revelator, the author of the Gospel of John, says that John the Baptist stated in chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus is the true light. The true light that gives light to every man was now coming into the world. He came to his own, meaning the Israelite nation, but they received him not. But those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We who were called Gentiles received him and those rights. John the Revelator echoes chapter 1 in verse 9, in chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me, whosoever becomes my disciples, will never walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. You see, Matthew and John, who were both disciples of Christ, are describing two forms of light. The candlestick in Matthew's gospel is physical light as we know it. And we know during those days, there were no street lights, no electricity, and we know so. Therefore, when night fell, one had to supply light with candles of fire. The higher the light, the brighter the glow. So Jesus was using this metaphor of candles to introduce spiritual light and spiritual darkness, which is sin. You still with me? Amen, 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 amen. And to walk in spiritual darkness was walking in sin. All of mankind was under the penalty of sin and death due to Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And all mankind had, the only light that mankind had was the laws of Moses, which taught them how to live holy and righteous before God and to live holy and civil among each other. But the law had no salvation. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law and to complete what God had begun in restoring a holy relationship with him and give us the full meaning of the law, which could only take place through his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Jesus Christ's commitment, his suffering, his sacrifice at Calvary. God used him to lead man out of sin. So God fixed it that one man, his only begotten son, could erase all the sins and restore righteousness between mankind and God. So Jesus hit the ground running. Chapter 3 of Matthew's gospel says that John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And while he was preaching, Jesus came to be baptized. Chapter 4 states that Satan tried to destroy him and the mission with several temptations, which Jesus diffused with the word of God. Church, the only offense we need to fight the devil is the word of God. John the Baptist was arrested, and Jesus began to teach and preach where John the Baptist left off. In the same chapter 4, Jesus calls his first 4 disciples, and he performed several miracles which brought crowds from every region. And as the crowds gathered, he made an amphitheater out of the side of Mount Olive in chapter 5 and began teaching the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, Verses 14 through 16 is where the subject of the lesson is found. Let others see Christ in you. Amen. Verse 14 says, we are the light of the world, and we should not be hidden. Those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who have confessed and repented of our sins have been given the responsibility of continuing the work of making disciples. He has brought us out of darkness, sin, into the marvelous light, salvation, by removing all our sins, forgiving us of all our sins, so that we can bring light into a dark and sinful world. And that's our task, and that's our mission. And it's time we stop hiding. See, the world doesn't know many of us. I'm not talking about members of this congregation. But the world doesn't know many of us because we are in hiding. And we're hiding behind fear. We walk like, we talk like, we dress like the world. The same music that's coming out of our vehicles is no different than theirs. So what really saddens me is that a few, not all, but just a few, are afraid of their own children. When we were children, Dr. Watkins, we didn't get a vote. Am I right about it? Our children don't pay no rent or mortgage, no utility bills. They don't buy any snacks and groceries. We clothe them and we feed them, and then we give them a vote. Little Johnny is 8. Little Johnny, you going to church today? No, I don't feel like it. Well, don't cook anything. I'll bring you a plate from church. Lock the doors now. Don't let nobody in. I'll be back about 2. That sounds like a boyfriend. That don't sound like a son. Our parents said, get your butt out of that bed. I'll be back in 30 minutes. Don't let me have to come back in here, or a fight's going to break out, and you're going to lose. And the church we went, some strayed away, but not so far that we couldn't find our way back. We had enough Jesus in us to lead us back because our parents didn't give us a vote. I'm just simply saying the light of Jesus should shine in us, in our homes first. Our family should recognize a spiritual change in us first. Our family members should be disciplined, or disciple orientation should take place at home first. Somebody in here needs to say amen. 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 And Jesus was preparing his disciples then and now. Those who handpicked and those who joined from the crowd after witnessing the miracles to continue the work of making disciples or other followers of Christ. He encouraged them, embraced them, beginning with the Beatitudes. He says, you will receive spiritual joy by comforting those who are poor in spirit. And you will receive spiritual joy by comforting those who are in mourning and grieving. You will receive spiritual joy from those you feed physically and spiritually. In other words, those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if you feed them the word of God, you will find joy. The pure in heart will see God's face to face. He says, don't worry about being persecuted for righteousness. Ours would be the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice, I say, rejoice. When men shall insult you and say all manners of evil against you, because great is your reward in heaven with the King. When you let others see Christ in us. Amen? You see, the light of Jesus Christ, and you talked about it this morning, is his love, which covers his compassion, tolerance, his patience, his long-suffering, his commitment to the cross, his forgiveness, his mercy, and his willingness to sacrifice his sight for redemption. All of God's attributes were wrapped up in Christ's love for the Father and his love for us. He died on Calvary for us. And that's why heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And God spoke from heaven that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This also means those same attributes that describes God and his Son Jesus Christ should also be in us if we are to be the light of this 16 world. Darkness to his disciples was sundown. But darkness to Jesus is sin. Light to his disciples was daybreak or sun up. But light to Jesus was opportunity, which he took advantage of when he bumped into a blind man from birth in verses 1 and 2. The Israelites had been taught and believed that all physical handicaps were the result of prenatal or parental sin. When asked by his disciples who sinned, Jesus replied, neither. This happened. God placed us here and him here so that the works of God, the awesome power of God, can be displayed. He is here to give us opportunity to work while it's day, because night is coming when no man can work. You see, no chore should be beneath us. No matter how gruesome or how it may appear, we should be willing to do whatever it takes to bring someone out of darkness of sin into the saving grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said when he sit on the throne in heavenly glory to separate the sheep from goats or the good from evil, those on the right will be blessed by the Father and receive an inheritance prepared for them since the creation of the world. For Jesus said, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was thirsty, did you give me drink? When I was a stranger, did you invite me in? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was sick, did you care for me? In prison, did you visit me? But finally, he said, whatever you didn't do for the least of these, mine, you did it unto me. So therefore, our light should shine through our compassion for others. Our light should shine through our testimony of God's goodness. And our light should shine through our commitment. Our light should shine through our integrity. Our light should shine through our faithfulness. Our light should shine through our trials and our turmoils. Our light should shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Because the only Christ's Son will ever see is through us. The songwriter said, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. In other words, the gift that God has given me, I'm going to use it in the service of the Lord. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. All in my home, I'm going to let it shine. All in my community, I'm going to let it shine. On my job, in the mall, at the grocery store, I'm going to let it shine. Especially in dark places where many are afraid to go, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm not going to worry about trying to protect this flesh. I'm going to fear God who can kill the body and the soul. So everywhere I go, every opportunity I get, I'm going to let the light of Jesus shine so that others can see Christ through me. Put your hands together, give God some praise. He have not called us. He have not saved us. He did not go to the cross to die in place of us, for us to do nothing. First place, the best place to start, at home. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart. May stray. But parents should put enough Christ in them that they do like the prodigal son. Here I am in a pig pen, ready to feed myself with what the hogs eat. And there my father is with plenty. He was talking about God as well as his father. He said, I've sinned before God, and I've sinned before my father. I'm getting out of this big pen. I'm going home, and I'm going to fall on my knees, and I'm going to ask my father to forgive me if he just accept me as a servant. I'll be satisfied. And that's what he did. He went home, and the beauty of it, his daddy was waiting on him. God is waiting on us to witness for him. And we can do it by letting the attributes of God illuminate who we are. We're going to invite you to stand. And we're going to pray that someone who may not have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior will say, it's now time. You're out of the ark of safety if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. And the devil is doing his best to kill you. That's his job, to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't be too embarrassed to step out from behind them pews and push your way toward this altar and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may not believe it, but you, if you have not done it, you are a walking dead person. Life is in Jesus Christ. If you've moved into this area and looking for a place to worship, this is a great place to nurture the gifts that's in you. And to learn more. There's some awesome teachers in this facility. Awesome teachers. And they volunteer their services to teach you. They volunteer. Why don't you come? If you've never been baptized, if you've never accepted Jesus, this is your opportunity to come. You may be seated.